Welcome to Empowered From Within, a special series under Unapologetically Hers 2024-2025 Participatory Action Research Leadership Program. I'm your host, Precious Johnson, and I bring both experience and commitment to this critical conversation. This series is based on research conducted by incarcerated community researchers at Central California Women's Facility, exploring peer perspectives on job readiness and assessing current prison programs. Their findings highlight both the barriers to reentry and opportunities for change. Over 10 episodes, you'll hear firsthand from those currently incarcerated and those who have successfully reentered society. We'll examine challenges in job readiness programs, discuss access and equity in prison education, and explore ways to create real systematic change. Join us as we amplify these voices and push for meaningful action. Let's dive in. I'm honored to be joined by community researcher Crystal, whose research and interviews have captured the real-world challenges and aspirations of those preparing for the workforce. Before we dive into our main discussion, Crystal, can you share a little bit about yourself and your journey as a community researcher, focusing on job readiness and realistic adaptation at CCWS?
Hey, everyone. I'm Crystal Paredes, and I am currently serving a 22-year sentence. I'm grateful to have this opportunity. My journey has been very impactful. Realizing the lack of support we have, I wanted to be able to help people and provide awareness. It's very important for people to be educated on job readiness.
Thank you for sharing that. What inspired you to explore these challenges, and how have your findings shaped your perspective on what it means to be job ready?
What inspired me is, you know, we don't have a lot here, and I think that it's ready very important, especially, you know, like seeing the people who have been formerly incarcerated get out and start these kind of things and come back and do workshops. So I just feel it's very important because we lack the support and job opportunities within the institution.
Thank you so much. What do you think will be the biggest challenge in adapting to a job once you're released, especially if you've been away from the workforce for a long time?
For me, the biggest challenge is outdated technology. Everything out there is done online, on touchscreen. People bank, work, shop, and manage their lives from their phone. So not having the confidence and knowing how to use technology.
And when you say not have the confidence to use technology, can you give me some more examples or some quotes from your research where this was spoken about?
Yes, I actually had a peer who said, I don't want to lose confidence because I don't know how to use a computer if they ask me. I want to feel confident walking into any type of job. We don't have a lot of the information. A lot of people here and my peers had to teach themselves how to use a computer when enrolling into school. You know, they handed out these laptops. So teaching themselves, and again, with Microsoft and Excel being so outdated, them having to learn, it's been a struggle. So I feel like with the technology, we need to have like those type of workshops that have updated Microsoft and Excel that teach them, you know, and even with the AI out there, we don't even know what AI entails us.
Thank you for sharing that. So you said they passed out laptops. Can you elaborate that on more for us?
Yeah. So when a lot of people, there was actually an LWOP who has been down for 25 years, enrolled into the BA program, and they handed out laptops. So with her being down for so long, they didn't have laptops or computers out there. And when they handed it to her, she struggled because she's like, I don't know how to turn it on. I don't know how to log in. I don't know how to use a mouse. So with her having to teach herself, it was a struggle for her. And again, it's the basics, you know, starting off. They don't even know how to use the internet or Google.
That must be very, very frustrating for folks inside. Yes. Can you share an example where a resident expressed concerns about lacking interview skills?
You know, talking to my peers, a lot of them expressed not being ready and having the knowledge of the interviewing skills. I know that they don't even know what to say, what not to say, how to dress, and how to really prepare for an interview when they never had a real life job out there.
And there's no classes or anything for folks getting ready to come home that's teaching folks about technology or interviews?
No, and we have one, it's e-learning, it's a class where you get time off. However, they've limited people to where only if you're not enrolled into school, you can do it. But I feel like you shouldn't put any kind of limitations on that, because everybody needs that. Or it's like even being in CSAP, where not everybody has gotten SAS and they teach them the reentry or like the interview questions. Because again, not a lot of people have had jobs before being incarcerated or had real life interviews.
Thank you so much. What roles do you think workshops like mock interviews and resume building sessions could play in boosting confidence and job readiness?
I believe the workshops will play an important role in providing insight and experience, as well as overcoming the challenges of feeling inadequate.
Can you explain more for me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, and you know, even the word interviews can be intimidating, or even the word resume or looking for a job. And I think that by having these type of workshops that help come and teach us and have real life mock interviews or building their resume, it builds confidence, because a lot of people too may have some type of writing capabilities, or they don't even know what their skills are and what they really qualify for without being told. So I think that having the workshop and us people kind of sharing their experience and the insight, it will help boost that.
Thank you for expressing that. So it sounds like residents face significant challenges such as outdated tech skills, lack of communication training, and the pressure of overcoming stigma, all of which can affect their confidence when entering the workforce. I hope I heard you correctly. Let's move on to discuss how we can start preparing for job interviews and workplace expectations while still inside. How can we start preparing you all for job interviews and workplace expectations while you all are still inside?
We can prepare by having workshops to offer mock interviews, job expectations, and learning effective communication. After interviewing some peers, they share concerns and not knowing expectations of an interview, job skills, and how to handle conflicts.
And when you say job expectations, not being able to handle conflict, can you elaborate on that for me, please?
Yes, you know, a lot of people who, again, have been here, and especially not working, let's say, a CIA job, may not know how to fulfill real job expectations. You know, working, let's say, the kitchen is cutthroat. So really, they're not teaching them anything. And so I believe that to help prepare for all of that while we're in here, it will help, you know, teach them the effective communication, even the handling conflict, because again, they don't know how, and they haven't really came across that or how to handle it here.
Makes so much more sense. Thank you so much. Do you feel confident about managing work responsibilities after release? And what support would be helpful to build that confidence?
I feel confident managing work responsibilities because of my current position here at work. I know some may not feel as confident as me, especially talking to my community. Some voice feeling inadequate. They said having outside organizations come in and share experiences of job skills needed would help encourage confidence. I was talking to a peer who has served 25 of their 50-year sentence here, saying, "I want to be job ready once I walk out these doors, since I've been here most of my life. I haven't been sitting around doing nothing. I want them to look at me knowing where I've been."
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And can you just give me another example where folks just don't have the confidence with managing work responsibilities, and how we could, you know, build that confidence for some other folks too inside?
Right. And, you know, again, especially for me, it's my job entails here, you know, having so many responsibilities, but again, it doesn't happen overnight. So I feel like having these kind of things that would help us and to help us boost that, because again, working maybe in the kitchen and as a clerk, you only have one or two jobs. So really they don't know what that entails of, or what that really feels like, because it's just one or two things that they're doing, to where I feel if people came in, even formerly incarcerated people, which can't come and share their experience or even these outside organizations and kind of explain to them what it is and have them get a feel for it, it would help them.
Thank you for sharing that. Are there specific job skills or training opportunities you feel are missing there that could better prepare residents for real-world jobs?
I feel we should have more workshops geared to mock interviews, resume building, job prep, guidance on professionalism, how to budget, and update technology classes. And actually, before, they used to have these budgeting classes, but because they were so outdated, they actually stopped running the classes. And mind you, these programs are like early 2000s.
And can you just give me, you know, some quotes or what are folks inside saying about these classes and how they could benefit and if they need help with budgeting and those sort of things?
Right. You know, and even having these, my peers say, after talking to the community, somebody's coming in and breaking down the skills because not everybody knows what they can bring to the table. It teaches them our strengths and weaknesses and what they are and how to use them and to benefit from them.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. How do you think employers will view your time in prison and what can be done to address potential stigma?
Something that really stood out after talking to my community, a peer said, I'm already going to have a label on my back because of where I've been. Don't assume the skills I have. Just take a chance on me and let me show you my potential. So with that being said, unfortunately, we cannot change our past. We're already going to have a stigma on our back when we parole. So we have to change the narrative in society, showing them being in prison is not just sitting around. It's going to school and furthering our education if we want better in life. Taking the time as an opportunity to get ready.
So it sounds like folks really don't know how to talk about their records once they're out and how to present themselves during interview processes. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what have you found after talking to folks? What would be so helpful to help folks to, you know, feel confident even with the record and in this that type of stigma?
You know, and especially having this stigma, it's going to be hard. But of course, we have to learn how to kind of sell ourselves and to strengthen ourselves and tell them what we have learned and what we overcame. The challenges here is a lot, you know. So I think by overcoming those and even handling rejection, because eventually 100 no's is going to turn into one yes, you know. So actually dealing with that and putting up with it, because just you get turned down once, it doesn't mean that that's going to be no forever, you know? And even having education, I think that that's one good thing here that the health benefit us is having the education here, because while we're in here, so we should take that advantage and it's free, you know, and it'll help us better ourselves, and especially dealing with these kind of situations.
Absolutely. And thank you. And thank you so much for that, Crystal. But I want to know specifically what kind of skills do folks need to learn and what can we all provide for folks inside to really get ahead of that before they get out and feel confident?
Mm-hmm. You know, especially like soft skills, learning soft skills. And that's one thing, too, that I'm grateful for within PIA is that they offer something like that. But I think like those kind of skills, hands-on training, when we're really like how to handle conflict, you know, effective communication, I think will really benefit us and for out there.
Thank you for sharing that. What types of resources or workshops do you think would make the transition smoother, especially for those facing additional challenges like age or disability?
This is a really good question because we don't have any resources that pertain to people who are disabled. After talking to my peers, specifically the ones that are disabled, voice that we need resources that help accommodate them that may fit best due to their disability or age. Also, that may help with how to apply for senior living, volunteer jobs, transportation, healthcare, Social Security, and other necessities of life.
Thank you for sharing that. Did folks inside say anything specific to how they're feeling about their confidence, how they're feeling about the things they need to learn now outside of, you know, the applications and the processes and those sort of things.
Yes. And, you know, even if they were to, we have this on our tablet, Edobo, even if they were to put kind of resources that help us how to apply for those type of things, or really what our community resources are, because a lot of them don't know what our community resources are pertaining to those kind of things, and they don't know how to really venture out for help because they don't know. So I think that offering those type of things, even on Dobo, would help tremendously.
Can you share any quotes about how folks are feeling about being older and possibly struggling with being disabled? Can you share any quotes?
Yes, I actually had a lifer who had been down 15 years actually say that she was scared to get out because she doesn't have any type of help or doesn't know where to go.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. How do you plan to handle balancing work with other responsibilities like housing, family, or health needs once you're released?
I plan to utilize resources that are available to me upon release. During my incarceration, I am balancing work, school, groups, and workshops. It's all about time management and prioritizing.
Thank you for sharing that. How are folks inside going to balance these responsibilities? And what are some quotes folks inside are saying about how they feel about this once they come home?
Actually, I had a few peers in the community say they don't even know how to balance these type of things because of the life that they lived beforehand. I know some of them were homeless. Some of them were just kind of venturing off doing bad to where they were very hesitant because they don't know how to go about the right way, how to even get housing, having no type of family or support when they get out, and not really learning the responsibilities or even fulfilling expectations of the responsibilities. So there was a lot of hesitation.
And what does folks need to learn how to, you know, balance responsibilities? What are folks inside need?
I think that they need some more type of resources that maybe help, or again, maybe putting onto Edobo and teaching them what it is and what it feels like and knowing what they are. Because again, you know, and learning how to ask the right questions because, again, they don't know what their resources are and they can't ask if they don't know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. Are they asking for workshops, groups, classes? I know you're talking about the tablet and in Edobo. Are they asking for pamphlets, books, you know, programs in education? Can you share some ideas or suggestions that, you know, your research findings have requested or suggested?
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them had asked for like classes, even like pre-parole classes that will help offer all of that and that type of information. Even some like pamphlets handed out or maybe from like senior counselor. I know a lot of them said that too, because when they're getting ready to go and they go and see their counselor, there's not much handed out to them. So I believe like classes and more information on like those type of things. Again, like learning how to really learn all of that and get the resources and what could help them.
Thank you so very much for that. I know that you folks inside have got a new role called peer support specialist. And, you know, I was told that the peer support specialists are supposed to help with those type of resources. Can you speak about that and if that is beneficial to folks inside getting ready for, you know, release?
You know, they have offered that, and I know that, again, they're getting familiar with that and getting the information. I know that they have helped a little bit in really reaching out to those people who are peer support. But again, I think it just, you know, getting the right type of information, you know, and knowing the questions to ask and to ask for help.
Thank you so very much for sharing that. In today's skill-based hiring environment, how prepared do you and others inside feel about practices like panel interviews, scenario-based questions?
Personally, I do not feel prepared because the current prison culture is not beneficial to the proper experience or tools needed to propel my skills and confidence in a panel-based atmosphere. After talking to my committee, they have the same concerns and in need of fostering more scenario-based workshops that help build skill set.
So basically that will boost their confidence.
You know, actually having these, I actually read a peer showed me they offer these virtual reality glasses that have real life mock hearings or interviews, like real world scenarios. So I believe that they had a workshop that would come and bring those and everybody take a turn and they could have that and just kind of get a feel for what it is to have a panel interview or the scenario based questions would help boost their confidence because, again, it's a real life thing, you know?
Thank you so much for sharing that. Crystal, reflecting on your research in these conversations, what is the most single important insight about preparing for a job in today's world while still incarcerated?
After conducting my research, hearing from some peers with experience, re-entering society and finding employment after incarceration may present challenges due to the stigma attached to a criminal record. However, we must network with organizations that will help provide the resources and remember to have a positive mindset about job readiness.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It seems that updating technology skills, practicing real-world job expectations through mock interviews and addressing stigma through effective communication are critical steps to ensure residents feel truly job ready. Is that so?
Yes.
Today. Yes. Today, we've discussed the multifaceted challenges of job readiness, from outdated training and technology gaps to the need for realistic adaptation through hands-on workshops and mentorship. Our conversation highlights the importance of preparing residents not only for a job, but for a successful, confident reentry into the workforce. Crystal, do you have any final advice for our listeners on how to start bridging these gaps and ensuring a smooth transition into employment?
Yes. First and foremost, I would advise that the currently incarcerated be realistic with the stigma of having a criminal record and employers not seeing the value in that. The situation is expected. We have to see the value in ourselves and prepare to explain our skills and what we have to offer. Second, I would highly recommend that the incarcerated population stay in touch with the formerly incarcerated people to hear their testimonies, receive advice, and literature on the current job force. Do not let your past limit your future.
Thank you so much, Crystal, for being a part of this critical conversation and doing an amazing job with researching your interviews inside.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much and have a great day. Thank you for tuning in to Empowered From Within. A special thank you to our guests for sharing their invaluable insights and our community researchers and to our listeners for being part of this critical conversation. If you believe in the power of self-empowerment and the importance of job readiness for system-impacted individuals, visit uahers.org to learn more, share your feedback, get involved, or support this work. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as we continue exploring the realities of reentry, workforce readiness, and the systematic changes needed to build a more just future.